In accordance with state law regarding public meetings held by electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on the authority's website. I'll go through roll call. Obviously, I'm Mark Verholak. Mike Angelini.
Present.
Lawrence Davis. Lawrence, you're
present.
There. Yeah, you're there. We got you. Daryl Hill. Don't see Daryl. Okay. Peter.
Peter is present.
Thank you, Peter. I will do staff now. Jeanette Weldon.
Yes, I'm here.
Denise Aguilera.
Here.
Carly Levin.
Present.
Joanne Makowitz.
Present.
Mr. Michael Morris.
Present.
Cynthia Peoples.
I'm here.
Julia Polano.
Here.
And Kara Stewart.
I'm here.
Excellent. How about, are there any other board members that are on the line that are joining us that I might have missed? No? Okay. And then from Cone Resnick, who do we have? We have Kristen Brown.
Here.
Melissa Ferrucci.
Here.
There you are. And Josh Labonte. I think I saw you.
Here.
There you go. Okay. And who called in? I see two lines that are dialed in. Can you identify yourself if you're on those lines?
One is Carly.
Mark, one of those. Yeah, and both.
I'm sorry.
And one of those is mine.
Can you say that again? Cynthia, is that you, one of them?
One of those is mine. I think Carly is saying the other is hers.
Okay. All right.
That
Thank
is
you.
Mark.
Thank you. I think that's everybody. Let's see here. As we go through our business today, individuals must state their name and title before speaking during the meeting. Votes must be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive a text or email advising whether, one, the meeting is being adjourned or canceled, or two, the time of meeting resumption. Denise, did I do okay? I got it. Great. All right. With that, let's hop into the agenda. I think the first order of business is to approve the minutes from our last meeting, which was June 16th, 2021. Before we do that, I guess any comments or changes or concerns with what you saw? No? All right. Can I get a motion?
I'm Mike Angelini, board member. Second.
This is Lawrence Davis, board member. Moved.
Thank you. So I think I might have a delay going on here, so I apologize for that. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
No. Any abstentions? Good. All right, we're set. Next item on the agenda is the investment policy. Cynthia, I'll turn that over to you.
Thank you. And before I do that, really quickly, I just wanted to introduce a new member of our team here at CHIFA in the Operations and Finance Department. That's Julia Polano. Didn't even say that right. Polano, correct, Julia?
Correct. Polano.
So she has joined us as an operations reporting analyst who will assist us with a lot of our reporting needs, as we discussed earlier this year during the HR budgeting portion. So welcome, Julia, and she's on the call today with us. So very quickly, I'm going to share my screen. Moment. Very short. Oops. Like a three-page presentation, really, on hopefully you can see that on your screen.
Yep.
Just quickly to go over the changes that we added, that we made to the investment policy for the next 2 years, unless something warrants a change sooner than that. So just to give you a little bit of historical context here, when I first got into this role, the investment policy I was faced with was a 2002 version done by my predecessor, David Williams. And so we kind of did what I'll call a moderate overhaul of it in 2011. In 2002, in particular, I know that there was a statutory review done by an external bond counsel, Shipman and Goodwin. But when we brought it in-house this time in 2011, we updated again from the 2002. The policy was reviewed internally by management, so the likes of Jeff Asher, Jeanette Weldon, Joanne, and myself. And then a statutory review was performed by in-house general counsel, which would have been Paula Herman at that time. And in the research of developing and making modifications and updates, we conferred with financial advisors or trustees for any of the qualified investment definitions, in addition to reviewing other financing authority investment policies as well. And obviously there's a statutory part of that as well, based on what the state allows us to actually make investments in. So as we evolved and it became a biennial process, we've done internal management reviews. If any significant changes are warranted, we obviously reach out to those consultants as well, financial advisors, bond counsels, trustees, and even various investment firms that we would ultimately do business with for some of our investments, similar to Fidelity or BlackRock or Federated, to look at what the qualified investments are, as well as the definitions related to that. We do, in addition to all that, we also have a set of precedent documents for our bond issuances that have definitions and permissible investments involved in that as well. And from time to time, we might get input or feedback from bond counsel on those definitions as things evolve or change. Anyone have any questions about that process? Okay, so let me just step right into the changes that we made for this year. So for fiscal 2022, the updates that we made was a reference to the subsidiary. So that was pulled out throughout. Jeanette is going to be developing the investment policy singularly for each of CHESLA and CSLF, which will be presented at their November board meetings for approval by those boards. In addition to that, there was a section that was removed for state mandated, this was under the state mandated restricted reserve funds. Specifically, oops, and I left an E off of state, my apologies, state of Connecticut, and an O off of us, Connecticut Office of Early Childhood. Because that, at the termination of that memorandum of agreement, those dollars were returned back to the state of Connecticut. So that's why those were left out as well. And then the only change that might've been a little confusing in the memo and how it played out as well inside of the actual policy was a change in the way the general fund permissible investments was listed. So there was a section that listed those investments with a maturity of less than 366 days. So it's a bulleted section. And inside of those bullets, there were two bullets that primarily had maturities outside of 365 days or greater than 365 days. And that section was led by with an approval by an authority or authorized officer, which indicates that just one person can approve those investments. So we pulled out two sections. They still exist under permissible investments for the general fund, but in particular, it had to do with our guaranteed investment contracts as that should have more than one approval when you're entering into those. So we added the executive director as the additional approver for those. And then also the bullet that led to any kind of clearly defined investment program that we're trying to create that would truly have to be approved by the audit finance committee. So those were the changes that we made. And I don't know if anyone has any questions on any of those, but we request an approval of the updated policy for September of 2021, resulting in a fiscal 2022 update.
Any questions?
Mark, this is Peter. Cindy, could you just go back one slide? I guess it's your last one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is fine with me. I'm just kind of curious. And the permissible investments, what is Connecticut General Statute Section 10A-180? I mean, what is that? When we say the guaranteed investment contracts comply with that, what is that? Do you know?
It's essentially, well, it actually is a list of the permissible investments that we can enter into. And in some cases, I believe as far as the GICs are concerned, it does tell you about the bidding process and that type of thing. And the fact that we have to go to competitive bid for those particular types of products. Unfortunately, I haven't memorized it and I didn't pull it up, but no, I can definitely share that section.
No.
For you all to read, but it is a list of those types of permissible investments that we can do.
That's fine. That's all I need to know. Thank you. Yeah. I have no interest in reading through the Connecticut General Statutes, but thank you.
Okay. All right.
So any other questions for Cynthia?
I just had a quick one, Mark. And Cynthia, the custodial agent, does Chifa use a central custodial agent, or is it based on where the securities are purchased?
Well, primarily, we don't do a lot of securities purchasing under the general fund. Primarily, when we do make our purchases, they're usually under the trustee for most of the securities that we do. So they actually are making those purchases on our behalf.
Okay. And then holding custody. Okay. All right.
And thank holding you. Custody of those, yes.
Got it. Thank you for that. That's all I have, Mark.
Thank you, Michael. Anything else? Daryl, welcome. Denise, question. We approve this. This goes to the board as well for approval?
Yes, that's correct. It needs to go to the board.
Okay. So if there's no other comments or questions, I'd look for a motion for the Audit and Finance Committee to approve the recommended changes and the recommendation that this be put forward to the full board for approval.
This is Peter. I'll move it.
Thank you, Peter. Second.
It's Michael. Second.
Long. Second.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? All right. We're good. We're passed. Thank you. And
thank you.
Our last item is the review of the annual audit. And Cynthia or Kristen or Melissa, I'll turn it over to whomever is going to lead us through this.
All right. So very quickly, Melissa Ferrucci is the partner on our relationship with Cone. This is the end of a second 3-year engagement with Cone. So we'll be saying farewell to this team, but obviously introducing anyone for next year. But it has been a pleasure working with them and working with Cone in particular over these last 2-3 year engagements. So Joanne is actually going to speak first and go over an internal review of the numbers, and then Melissa will follow as well. And Melissa also has an addition to the MD&A that's going to end up in the final version of the audit that she'll present to you as well during her presentation. So we'll start with Joanne, and then Melissa will introduce her team, and they will do the higher level part of the program.
All right, thank you, Cynthia. So I am Joanne Makowitz, for the record, controller. I'm going to go over some key points for Chifa, which also includes a small amount for CDC, which was eliminated. I am going to be starting page 62 of the PDF, which is page 56 if you printed it out. So I'm going to get started. Chifa, CHESLA, and CSLF will be reported at their own respective meetings next week. So I'm just going to get started. So year over year, Chifa has increased in operating revenues and a slight decrease in operating expenses. Our operating revenues were $7.6 million as compared to $5.8 million in the prior year with a budget of $7.7 million. 97% of our revenues are generated from the administrative fees that are assessed to our institutions. So as you may recall, the prior year, we had a decrease of $1.8 million, which we waived to our institution as part of our COVID mitigation program. In fiscal 2021, 17 bond offerings were closed, which totaled approximately $743 million. This is compared to $1.1 billion that we did in the previous year. 53% of those dollars closed were new money deals. In addition, in fiscal 2021, CHIFA issued 3 loans on the revolving loan program. This totaled about $150,000, and the interest income on those loans was $1,800, so just about $2,000 in interest income. Our operating expenses year over year decreased by a nominal amount, $95,000, from $3.875 to $3.78 million, and was $252,000 under budget. This under budget amount was predominantly from working virtually and from attending virtual conferences, which most of the times were there were no charges for them. Our total operating income is $3.8 million for 2021 compared to $1.9 million in the prior year. Our non-operating income decreased by $234,000, which was mostly due to the investment income. The interest rates just weren't there, so that was a significant decrease of about $189,000. The change in net position for 2021 after grant funding of $3.1 million is a net gain of $0.8 million as compared to last year, which was a 0.9 loss, again, due to the 1.8 that we waived for our institutions. Any questions on the income statement, the net income, net asset? Can't talk right now. All right, I'm going to go to page 61 of the PDF, which is the balance sheet. On the balance sheet, so the investments increased year over year, and the admin fee receivable decreased about $1 million. This again reflects the delay that we had in the fees from 2020 that were billed in September and received in September and October. All of those were received. We did not have to write off any of those. The due from CHIFA CDC increased by $39,000. This was all CHIFA support services for staff doing CDC work. $297 million of current restricted assets, cash and investments, represent the construction funds that we hold on behalf of our institutions. Total net position for CHIFA for 2021 is $14.3 million. And I too, I'll open it up for questions, but I also wanted to thank Cone for all their work this year. It was a challenging year with a new general ledger and a new accounting system, and we still got it done on time. And I thank you very much for all your hard work. Any questions? I like it.
Darryl, I always like that response too. It's always
woo-hoo. I'm gonna mess everybody up and ask one question.
There you go.
You just walked through the net position. What was the change in net position from prior to current, from 2020 to 2021?
Hold on, I gotta bring up that page. Is that on page 61? Whoops, sorry, I'm off. It would be, well, I think I just lost you all.
We're here.
I don't have it. I did not print it out. Cynthia, do you have it printed out real quick?
Kara has page 61 up on the screen.
Actually, it's on the next page.
It's on page 62.
62. Change in that position. Scroll to the bottom. There we go.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
I don't know why. I'm sorry, I can't get that to cooperate with me over here. Hunting, Cynthia.
No, they had it up on the page. Kara just took it down. So the change in net position was 797, which includes the 836 Oh, well, this is in thousands, the 836, mm-hmm. And then the 39, which was eliminated for Chief of CDC.
Thank you.
Gotcha.
Any other questions? All right, this is a chatty group today. So I believe, oh, go ahead,
sorry. John. I'm supposed to punt over to Melissa, who will take over for their portion of this report. Sorry about that.
Excellent, excellent. And thank you all. Can you see my presentation now on the screen?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Melissa Ferrucci. I am the partner in charge. Also joined today by Kristen Brown, director with the firm, and Josh Labonte, who's the senior on the engagement. And I would like to say a big thank you to the CHIFA team. You know, we sum up this audit in about a half an hour, and it takes away from the hours and hours of work spent on this engagement. So very, very much thank you for all of your cooperation and getting us all of the information timely. So I will start today's presentation by first talking about, Cynthia had alluded to, a change to the draft that you have. So on the MD&A, on page 12, there in the CHESLA revenue section, we added a sentence, and I will read it, but it will be in the final draft that states interest income on loans receivable increased $563,000 to $7.755 million from $7.192 million in the prior year. So that sentence on the interest income on loans receivable will be in the final draft. Today, we will go through the various reports that we have issued as it relates to CHIFA, provide the required communications with governance, as well as talk about some of the upcoming GASBs to be aware of and to make sure that you plan ahead for. So with that, I will turn it over to Kristen Brown.
Hi, everyone. That's Kristen Brown, director for CohnReznick. I'm going to say, start off by thanking the CHIFA team as well. I've been lucky enough to work with them all 6 years of this contract. They've been phenomenal. You have a very, very intelligent and hardworking team at CHIFA, so I appreciate all of their hard work. So now I'm going to get into the information here. The reports that are going to be issued is we're going to issue an opinion in relation to the audit of the CHIFA, which also includes CHESLA and CSLF. We have audited in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards to make sure that the financial statements prepared by management agree to the generally accepted accounting principles and their presentation. We have also our responsibilities to make sure that the statements are free from material misstatements, but not absolute assurance that 100% of everything is accurate within the statements. In order to, as part of our responsibilities, we have to communicate certain things to you, which is we conducted the audit in accordance with the plan, scope, and timing that we had anticipated. Our audit team was complied with all independence requirements as required in performing an audit. We reviewed your significant accounting policies to make sure that they're being followed as management has so described them. We look at the significant estimates within your financial statements to make sure that they're reasonably presented. The significant estimates are the allowance for uncollectible accounts related to the loans for CHESLA and CSLF. We also look at the fair value of the estimates that management is reporting within the financial statements to make sure that those are reasonably presented as well. Based on the audit procedures that we performed and the discussions that we had, we did not become aware of any identified or suspected fraud. There were no significant difficulties in performing the audit. There were no audit corrections or past adjustments related to the financial statements. We had no disagreements with management. Management will be requested to sign a representation letter telling us that what they provided to us was true and accurate. As far as we are aware, there were no consultations with other accountants by management. And we do issue our audit on the financial statements, and then we do some work on the required supplementary information, which is the management discussion and analysis, as well as the supporting schedules in the back. So So in addition to that communication and the issuance of the audit on CHIFA, we also performed an agreed upon procedures report for CSLF, prepared the tax return, and CHIFA itself on behalf of CSLF will provide the 990 postcard for the CCBC entity that you have. We had no findings or recommendations that we had within our audit for you this year. So very high level, because I know Joanne went over a lot of it. As you mentioned, the CCDC, due to the size, is a blended component unit and eliminated due to the relationship of the transactions. Hopefully that you'll be able to get some new market tax credits and pick that one up off the ground and get that running. Your current assets were greater than current liabilities, about $9.5 million. Your restricted net position was just under 4.4, with an operating income of $3.8 million. Your non-operating expenses were $3 million, and that resulted in the an overall increase in net position that we discussed of just shy of $800,000. You had $4.9 million of cash that was generated from your operating activities. And from that cash, you utilized just about $11 million for non-capital financing activities, as well as $103,000 for purchasing of capital assets. And all of your investments provided you about $6.8 million of cash, resulting in a net increase in cash of about $550,000. And for this current year audit, there was no new guidance that needed to be implemented. So now I'm going to turn it over to Josh Labonte, a senior who also works on the engagement with me.
Hello, everyone. I'm just going to present some high-level information on CHESLA and CSLF. I know we'll have a separate presentation with them, but as we report an opinion over the combined financial statements that include all three entities, we're going to present just some high-level information on those. So CHESLA had this year an operating loss of $909,000. This is a smaller loss than in the prior year, where the loss in the prior year was $1.4 million. The net position this year decreased by $840,000. The prior year was an increase of $451,000. So the swing in that is mainly driven by the investment income, which you heard Joanne talk about, that is mainly driven by the interest rates. So last year there was $1.8 million in interest income, and this year there was only $69,000 in interest income. So there's a big swing there, which is affecting the change in the net position. This year, there was a decrease in the allowance of $120,000. The prior year had an increase of $168,000. That change is just mainly based on the balances of the loans. There was an additional $500,000 in contributions from CSLF to fund scholarships. This is consistent with the prior year. There was a decrease in cash of $8.7 million. So that sounds very scary, but if you recall from last year, there was $8.3 million increase in cash, and that was for the bond refunding of, I think it was 2009, maybe 2010, which one of those, there was some cash left there that was used to refund that bond in this fiscal year. And then the restricted net position is $26 million. This makes up about 82% of the net position. And then for CSLF, that had an operating income of 1.6. The prior year was 1.7, so quite consistent. The net position increased by 1.1. Last year, it increased by 1.3. You transferred the $500,000 to CHESLA for scholarships. The overall increase of cash was $129,000. The restricted net position is about $3.4 million, which is approximately 14% of your net position. And there was a decrease in the loan loss reserves of $226,000. And then that's all I have, and I will pass it back to Melissa.
Thank you, Josh. And as our final piece of our presentation, just to make you aware of the new accounting standards that will be issued in FY22 and 23 that may be relative to CHIFA. So GASB 87 relates to leases. So GASB has followed FASB and the lease accounting standards, whereby you will be reporting, need to report leases on your balance sheet for both operating and capital leases. And this will require management to take an inventory of their leases to determine what type of lease agreements that you have and whether or not the lease agreements would need to be reported in accordance with GASB 87. GASB 93.
Melissa?
Oh, yes.
Melissa? I'm sorry, this is Peter Lisi. Just a quick question on that GASB for leases.
Sure.
Is there a minimum amount? I mean, if somebody leases a copy machine, I mean,
Yes, that's a great question. So there is materiality in an
what
audit.
Is that?
It depends on your organization and your size. So again, your materiality here is going to be relatively high. So I would say for your copier leases, those you may get away with not implementing the guidance.
Okay.
So again, materiality does vary based on your total materiality base chosen by the auditors. So, but
Thank
that
you.
Is a great question and something that management will need to also evaluate in making their evaluation.
Okay, thank you.
Great question. And then the next GASB for FY22 is GASB 93, the replacement of interbank offered rates and essentially agreements with variable payments made or received that depend on an interbank offered rate. The most common is LIBOR. LIBOR will cease to exist in its current form as of 12/31/2021. So GASB has implemented new standards to ensure that if you have any of these types of agreements, that the financial instruments just be amended to replace LIBOR in them. So this will be something that, again, if it's relevant to CHIFA, you'll need to ensure that you implement this standard. And again, I think this may be on, we'll need to look at for CHESLA, you'll need to look at for CHESLA specifically, potentially for next year. And then FY23, GASB 96 on subscription-based information technology arrangements. This is accounting for these types of arrangements if you have them. And again, it's adding accounting for these on your balance sheet. And then that one you have a couple of years for. So with that, I'd like to just conclude. And again, thank you all for everything over these last 6 years. It's been a pleasure and we will look forward to transitioning your new audit team and are always available. You all will have our contact information at any time for any questions. And now I will stop sharing my screen and open it up to questions from the group before we head into executive session.
Any questions? I have one, and Cynthia, maybe it's for you. Do you anticipate that any of those pronouncements will have a material impact on the financial statements?
I do not. I know that we have already started looking at our leases and preparing to move them, in our statements and the way that we handled them in the past with our new chart of accounts. LIBOR will not impact us at CHIFA, but we do need to take a look at more closely at how we're going to accommodate the web-based subscriptions. That one may just have an impact in how we're accounting for them, but I don't know that it's going to have a large impact. I mean, a lot of our subscriptions are moving to a web-based environment, so we do have to take a good look at them all. Unfortunately, we didn't work that into our new chart of accounts when we created that last year, but we will take a look at that over this year and see to what extent we can already start to shift as we move into the next budget year, any of those arrangements.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? No, we're good. So we will have the members of the committee along with the representatives from Cohn-Resnick go into executive session. Denise, do we have to vote to go into executive session? We do.
Yes, okay. You need a motion, Mark.
All right. So can I get a motion for us?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Guys around the board. Okay. Opposed? Great. Okay. We will, it's 1:07, and I guess we will officially go into executive session. Now you can click the link that's on your screen. So it's 1:19. We're back from the committee's back from executive session. I would, before we go to vote, I'd just like to, as has become a custom, I guess, every year, thank the chief of team, Joanne, Cynthia, others. I mean, so many involved, right? And it's not just on the accounting team. It's everything, soup to nuts, has to be done right so that there's no problems when it gets to the accounting piece of the equation. So I just want to thank you for all your hard work. And it is very clear that, I mean, every year the audit goes very smoothly. This year sounds like an exceptionally smooth year. And given all the challenges between COVID, coming out of COVID, new GL, all these different things, as the auditors have said, you've weathered the storm incredibly well. And I speak for the committee and probably the board that we thank you for everything you've done. With that, I would also look to thank our auditors from CohnReznick. As I just said to them, I hear consistently that this is an excellent, very collaborative working relationship. And as a board, we very much appreciate that. So with that, any other questions, comments, concerns before we move to a vote? Okay, hearing none. I would look for a motion for the Audit and Finance Committee to accept the audited financial statements as presented by CohnReznick with the slight modification that Melissa mentioned in wording. And also recommend that this be put forward to the full board for their acceptance today. Can I get a motion?
It's Mike Angelini, board member. So moved.
Thank you, Michael. Second.
Peter Lisi, I'll second it.
All right. Thank you. Any other further comments, questions, concerns? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Congratulations for an excellent audit. I really appreciate all parties
here. Here.
With that, I do not think there is any other business. And I'll give everybody a slight break between our next meeting, which I'm sure you all appreciate. So can I entertain a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Thank you. Second. Daryl always is on the gun on that one. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you all very much for a great meeting, a great conversation, great questions, and a great job all around. Much appreciated.
Well done, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you all.